from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live blog by Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later on tonight, we'll be joined by ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter and friend of the show, Rob Domofsky. But right now, it's time for Green Bay! The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes!
We got the good. We got Morgan Burnett.
Playing the game of his young career.
Randall Cobb.
So many catches, so many yards.
The offensive line.
Killing it.
We got the bad. We got Mason Crosby.
Thank you very much.
Davante Adams.
Catch the ball, son.
Red zone offense.
Punch it in, boys.
And we got the ugly. We got
Timothy, who has quietly become a liability. I mean, no one really has been talking about it much. And I guess there has been a lot of talk. You heard it in the intro there, Rob Domofsky's hit on ESPN. Of course, we'll be talking to Rob later in the show. But, you know, yeah, there's been talk about the special teams, but there hasn't been a whole lot of specific scrutiny on the fact that Tim Maste is not playing very well. And I know playing when you're a punter is kind of a weird concept, but he has one particular job he is asked to do, and at the moment, he's not doing it very well, or at least not very consistently well. And that's kind of concerning heading into Week 17 and the playoffs.
Meanwhile, that was the longest ugly ever in the history of ugly.
Just saying, dude.
And the first Packer Transplants Live on a Friday, we believe. We
ever.
Didn't go back 128 episodes.
So, but we believe it to be the case.
But you know what? We had to do it.
Had to do it. Can't miss out, people.
Well, and I kind of wanted to see who would show up on a Friday night. Who's a loser like me?
Who is a big enough nobody to sit by and watch this show? And let me tell you, we got to salute you people with a Stillmank brood.
Thank you.
Super kind and a Wisco Disco beer.
I'm very happy.
Cheers to you, people.
And we love having you here. Thank you for being
here.
Can't
even believe it.
You're not a loser. I'm a loser because on Friday night, I'd be watching TV right now. Instead, I'm having fun talking about the Packers. I've been missing this. So here we are.
And here we are. And, you know, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever you believe, whatever you choose to celebrate. Thank you for taking some time in this busy holiday season to either watch us live or to listen to us later on the podcast. So thank you so much. The Packers coming off all right, let's not call it a big victory, but let's call it a victory that, you know, kind of knocked some dust off some things and got people back in the winning mode against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's not sell them short. I think Bob McGinn put it well. Whatever they had, they gave it to the Packers, and Packers took their best shots and came out victorious, 20-3. So not a big win, but a win, and we'll take it. And now we're getting ready for a big, big showdown Sunday against the Detroit Lions.
I mean, I literally texted you when we realized the whole, like, where Christmas was falling.
Yep.
And I think it was on Monday or
Tuesday.
We
don't do a whole lot of planning.
No. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, and I realized we weren't going to do the show, and I was, like, feeling the game. I was like, this feels like... It is a playoff game.
Yeah, basically.
It's basically the pre-playoff game.
Yeah. The preseason for the
playoffs. Too big of a game. We've only missed one show this season.
Crazy.
It just couldn't happen.
Just couldn't. Had to do it.
Who knew?
It had to do it.
But
so here we are on a Friday.
A very
night.
Big game. Very, 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 very.
So
very
I think people need to tweet something out.
Well, no, I'm not giving anything away.
Nothing tonight? Nothing? No things to
this
give away?
This is what you get. You get this.
You can
get
still
all of this.
You can still tweet it out if you want. Because, you know, Stillmank is an awesome sponsor and they send us free.
They
beer.
Are. I mean, we'll appreciate
it. And you're enjoying this show free of charge on a Friday night. You know, there's people spending hundreds of dollars right down the street to go to Broadway to watch professionals do much better jobs than this. But they're paying hundreds of dollars.
There's people spending $4.99 on Google Play for the interview right now instead of watching us.
See what I'm saying? And
FYI.
We're giving you this stuff for free. So there you go.
It's the only way we know how to bring it.
Yeah. Bring it to the masses. Although we kid, but this is the looking at the numbers, this is the largest audience we've had to kick off a show. I think all year.
No.
I think.
No. You're delusional, but we have a very big show. I thought there were going to be 20 people.
I thought there were going to be five people.
Me, you, Alex Talish,
there's a whole lot more than that. I don't know.
Ryan, Michael.
I'll be interested to go back
and watch. Alan's not even here. Alan's got too much to do on.
I know.
He's deer hunting on a Friday night.
Apparently,
deer hunting is more important
than
Alan.
Don't worry. I'm sure he'll be back to give me grief on the comments section somewhere on Cheesehead TV.
Of course.
At some point.
Well, what would Cheesehead TV be without giving you grief? That's pretty much the whole.
That's kind of how we built our
besides
mini empire.
Devoted to Green Bay Packer fans, the second line that no one sees.
Giving Aaron Nagle grief about everything.
Yes.
Love it. All right, so let's get to some news, some Green Bay Packers news, if you will. And I guess headlining the week is the Pro Bowl is. I'm sorry. Oh, wait. I got to wake up. Sorry. Yes, we have five Packers voted into the Pro Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews, Josh Sitton, and John Kuhn all named to the Pro Bowl squad. A whole bunch of other guys made it as alternates.
Kuhn the only fullback in the NFL, first of all?
He's one of like four, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But, you know, it's the Pro Bowl. It doesn't mean jack. The guys don't
it
even
It matters
try.
That you get voted in.
I guess.
It doesn't matter that
contracts,
you go to the game.
I guess. Does it matter, though? I mean, does it?
Yeah.
Why? Fans don't know what the hell they're doing.
If you were recognized by your
Jeff
peers.
Jeff Saturday was your peers. Jeff Saturday was voted into the Pro Bowl his 1 year in Green Bay, where he sucked and got benched and still went to the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is a fucking farce. Come on.
Don't call Packer fans voting a farce, first off.
Packer fans voting, I'm sure, is wise
like
and just.
I don't like that talk.
There are 31 other fan bases
Pro Bowl
though,
matters.
That are also voting.
You know what else matters? G-Force.
Oh,
okay?
Don't do it.
It's the end of G-Force, guys.
Dude, we've got a whole section.
I'm sorry.
At the end of the show.
I'm sorry, but I'm just.
We're not going to lead with G-Force, although we already did. But we're not going to lead with G-Force.
Okay.
I refuse to do it.
Okay.
We're going to talk some news. We're going to talk about Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews voted Defensive Player of the Week for the fourth time in his career, matching the number of times Charles Woodson was voted Defensive Player of the Week while he was in Green Bay. I mean, just fantastic job. And I found it very interesting, by the way, that, you know, this is a little mini explosion from Clay, who's been playing well regardless.
What are you calling a mini explosion?
Well, just
he's had a sack in like the last
a ton of games. I get that. And he has double digits now, and it's very exciting. But it was a little extra pep in his step on Sunday. And I think the not getting voted to be a playoff captain, I think there's a little something to that.
I think Packers Planet says, Clay brought the G-Force.
Yeah. I know a lot of female Packer fans and some male Packer fans who probably would like him to
bring
the G-Force.
I can't help myself.
Yeah,
it's in my
it's
blood,
in
Nagler.
It's in you.
I just think of all it's the times I've been, since 2007, I've been G-forcing.
2006, sir. Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did find out that G-Force started in 2006.
I can see we're never not going to talk about G-Force this whole show. It's going to like permeate the entire show.
It's the end of an era, Nagler.
It really is.
If Jared Bush would have fell on the ball, we would still have G-Force today, okay?
That's Corey's working theory. He's still like working the kinks out, but that's what he's going with right now. If Jared Bush had fallen on the ball in the 2007 NFC Championship game, G-Force would still exist.
Or it may have died a death then. It's either or.
We're one or the other. But we wouldn't have had to deal with the plight of G-Force. Oh, you're knocking me off my game, man.
Devon House,
the only player not practicing, although a bunch of people were limited, including QB1. We'll talk to Rob Domofsky about that in the next section of the program. But Devon House is a bummer, man. The guy was playing so well.
Yeah.
And then there's that one pass breakup in the end zone against Julio Jones, which really screwed up his shoulder. And reportedly off to the side in practice, in a little bit of pain, which is apparent even during like normal workout drills. I mean, that's not great. And I know McCarthy keeps saying like the hope is he's going to be available for the playoffs. I am not holding my breath.
It depends if we win.
Yeah, but even then, even if they get the week off, even if they do that, I'm going to be shocked if he plays in the divisional round. I think the earliest we see him, if we get there, is the NFC Championship game, let alone maybe the Super Bowl. But
you know, the Rams might beat the Seahawks there, buddy.
Just slow down.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But if the Packers win on Sunday, they do get the bye week, so that helps. That helps. But
does it really, though?
Yes.
Has PFT done a... Has
people...
Does it really, though? Does getting the bye really help you? Because there's a lot of teams that are one and done when they get the bye.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it's 50-50.
There are also teams that get the bye and then go to the Super Bowl. So So,
and there's also teams that go on. There's only one team that went on the road and won the Super Bowl. That's not true.
That's not true. The Steelers did it too. I'm just saying. Recently. The Steelers did it.
Yeah, like, we were the first.
No. Steelers did it before the Packers did.
Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Green Bay!
Aaron Rodgers did not do much. Like I said, we'll talk to Rob about it. Rob was there. He witnessed it. A little disconcerting on Christmas afternoon when you're just like, you've opened your gifts, you watch your kids open all their gifts, and you're playing and you're helping your kid with the Wii U, and you're just having Smash Brothers and you're having a good time. And then you get a little text alert slash, you know, tweet about how Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything at practice. You know, that's just, I don't need that.
Well, why, though? Need that. What does it matter?
Just don't need it.
The only reason we need that is so Devontae Adams understands how to shoulder pass.
And to be clear, I know they didn't. You know, Mike sent him home. They went. You know, I get all that. Like, I'm talking about during the week. Like, it was just kind of a refresher. And I'm just like, you know, we've seen guys not practice all week and then come up and just be less than stellar on game day.
Yeah, but you're talking about QB1.
I understand that.
QB1, Nagler. QB1.
I understand that. And I want to talk to Rob about the Mike admitting that Aaron's calf injury changed his play calling against Tampa Bay, which, you know, kind of makes sense. Obviously makes sense. Yeah. He's not as mobile, etc. But I'm interested to see what Rob thinks as far as how it will affect game planning / play calling on Sunday against a formidable defensive front from Detroit. And then, speaking of Detroit,
yay!
Everybody's this favorite is douchebag is suspended.
Well, no. Who do Packer fans hate worse?
All right,
Ndamukong Suh,
right,
or Dominic Rayola?
You know, they're both.
It's
kind
of a toss-up.
They're both douchebags extraordinaire. But I will say, with Ndamukong Suh, at least he's talented and a very good football player, and. Yes, the stomp on Thanksgiving a couple years ago, etc.
He's dirty, dude.
Completely being like, whatever, not even close to remorseful about it. I get all that.
When
and
Cam
he is
Newton calls you Donkey Kong, you're dirty.
Donkey Kong Sue, man. But, you know, yeah, he's a douche, but he's an amazing football player. So, and he's been relatively clean this year. And he just trucks fools. And I, as someone who loves football, I do love watching him play. But he is a douchebag. Now, flip it over to Dominic Rayola. Dominic Rayola is a douchebag, and he's not very good at football. He just happens to be better than anybody the Lions can get or have been able to get. And I'm just so happy like that they finally did something about this guy who has done stuff like this for years. I mean, this is the sixth incident of this guy doing something after a whistle, after a play. You know, just the most recent this year after his ridiculous stunt against the Patriots where he launched into guys in the victory formation. Guy's just horrible. He's just a horrible human being. The incident everybody remembers at Lambeau with the Wisconsin Badgers marching band, etc. The list is long with this guy. What I wonder, with the NFL, yes, smoke a joint, you're suspended 4 games.
Yeah.
Smoke 2 joints, you're out for the year. Try to injure your fellow players on purpose after the whistle 6 times?
Welcome to the No Fun League.
Oh, I guess 1 game. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
I was going to say, did you see that Brian Gumbel special? It was about like a month ago talking about how many players actually use marijuana for pain medication.
No.
Which is pretty amazing. It's crazy.
I'm not
surprised. It's like 30 to 50% of players use it as pain medication. So it's interesting that they do that, and at the same time, there's this undercurrent of what's going on, which there's going to be a lawsuit. You know it's going to happen
eventually.
In Denver.
Everybody.
It is going to happen because what do you do to a legal substance that you're now going against? There's a whole thing there, not to get into that. We got to go into Mike's best and worst, so we're going to do that.
What a segue.
Instead of
call him the master.
Instead of touching that third rail, we're going to play a segment.
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, the Week 16 edition for the 2014 NFL regular season. On the good side, let's talk about Mike getting everyone involved. That's right, everyone gets a trophy in Week 16. Seriously, though, Mike did a great job. It goes back to what he talked about this summer, coaching up everyone, every single player, teaching them to do multiple things and getting them exposure on game day. Everyone on the active roster saw time against the Buccaneers. Now, obviously, Mike Pennell's one snap or Dwan Harris's handful of snaps probably doesn't make that much of a difference. But something like Jayrone Elliott getting in there for eight snaps and helping cause a turnover, that can pay dividends down the road if and when he's called into action for the playoff stretch. This is a great job by McCarthy, and it goes back to his philosophy that he stated this past summer. On the bad side of the ledger, I'm going with one play. I'm calling the call. I'm calling the design. I hated everything about the John Kuhn carry on third down, down by the goal line. Forget the fact that you've just pounded it in there twice and gone nowhere. Forget that you've given it to John Kuhn when you have Aaron Rodgers. Forget all of that. I hated the play design. Hated that everybody had to go forward, sit and trying to seal, gets no action there. And then you bring Kuhn across the formation. Just let him hit it up there if you're going to give it to the fullback. I mean, everything about that play drove me nuts. But Mike gets the win. That's a nitpick. That's Mike's best and worst for Week 16 of the 2014 NFL regular season.
There we go. Mike's best and worst. What do you think, Corey? How was that?
I liked it. I edited it.
You did. You did a fantastic job.
Before, you know, there's something in the script that you missed on the offense, by the way.
What I missed? What I missed? Tell me. Okay. We're going to hit
it's
the offense.
Something I said. We're on offense now.
All right.
Okay. This whole Jeff Janis thing, okay? Okay. First off, and Packer fans are going to hate me here, right?
Yeah, do it, dude.
I'm not a Wisco loyalist, right?
Do it.
I love Wisconsin, but right. I love the Green Bay Packers,
right?
Okay?
We know this. Nothing confusing so far.
Okay. This whole Wisconsin Badgers thing.
He's not a Badger.
Okay.
You're
it's
thinking
annoying. That's the first thing that's annoying. Okay. The second thing is everybody wants Jeff Janis to play. They're giving up on Davante Adams because he's hit this rookie wall, okay?
Okay.
Look at how many rookies hit the rookie wall right now.
Right.
And then come up again in the playoffs.
Right. That does happen.
That does happen.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to give the kid a chance. He's had some explosive plays. He's had some boneheaded stuff happen the last 2 weeks.
Oh, dude, he looks just like James Jones. I mean, somebody jokingly on Twitter this week said, after the drop during the game, someone I follow wrote, he really is a young James Jones. And it's true. I mean, he's a rookie. It's going to happen.
But it's just like, I don't understand.
What I love is people who make sweeping proclamations about the kid and his career, like after, what, 16 games?
He's actually, for a wide receiver, he has had a very excellent, for a rookie
he's
wide receiver, he's had an excellent season.
He's been up and down. And something I said on Twitter this week that I don't think I did a great job of kind of expressing, but it was just something that popped in my head. In regards to Adams, because a lot of fans, I think, are frustrated with him. We've watched some really bad drops in the last couple weeks, obviously. Clearly, when he's involved in the game plan, or when Aaron Rodgers decides they're going to get him involved early, like as a point, he has pretty good games, whether it's against the Patriots. We saw him have a great game, despite the big drop in the end zone towards the end, or down in Miami. These games where he is game planned for, where he clearly gets a bunch of reps in practice, where he's getting the ball, where the play is, we're going to get it to you, Devontae, etc. When those weeks happen, he tends to have a pretty good game. Weeks like the Buccaneers or the Bills or, you know, whatever game you want to choose where he's been less than stellar and had a bunch of drops, those are the games where it's clear he's not a big part of the game plan. He is an auxiliary player. He is a guy who, okay, if we're not finding Jordy or if we're not finding Randall, who are the game plan, we're going to get to you, Devontae, and he doesn't make those plays. That will come with time. People got to be patient. People got to remember, hell, even Greg Jennings, who everyone knew the moment he stepped on a football field in Green Bay, he was going to be the number one, was inserted in the starting lineup week one.
What happened to Greg Jennings, by the way?
Got a nice touchdown pass from Teddy Bridgewater.
It's about damn time.
He's actually had one the last couple weeks. But
wow.
I digress. But, you know, it just takes time, especially at wide receiver. And we've been kind of spoiled this year.
It takes 3 years for a wide receiver to really
progress. Well, and that is
the
old adage. That's kind of faded away the last couple years.
Look.
I'm just saying, especially with this
wide
receiver
class. Wally Pingle is on in the chat right now, and I got one thing to say to him, but one thing I want to say to you. Don't call me Vic Ketchman. That's number one. Number two, Wally Pingle. I love Bob McGinn, okay? I'm just going to say that. Go ahead.
keep going.
I love when you drop that, like, because I have no idea what you're talking about because I never look at the
because
chat.
When Wally Pinkle gets drunk,
yeah,
the first thing he says is he's like, I can't believe you guys love Bob McGinn so much. So I like to say that.
Oh, wow.
Now do you understand?
Are you telling me that Wally's drunk right now?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
But he's on the chat. He's made his presence known.
Right.
Right? He's made his presence known. Kyle Kuzino's at a bar. He's trying to get this on the bar and in De Pere.
He's not trying to get it.
I know this. I know this, but I can dream.
I know.
Okay?
For those of you unaware, Kyle Kuzino, before the show, said he works all week, so he doesn't want to sit home and watch Packer Transplants on a Friday. Sorry. Thought you were diehard. Anyway, so he went out and said he's going to go, and I made the point that, you know, Packer Transplants available on all mobile devices, so, you know, give it a try.
He
responded with, maybe I'll try and get it up on the TV in the bar. He's not trying
Here's the truth about Kyle Kuzino. He is only a diehard on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, okay? Friday and Saturday, he's not a diehard anymore.
That's true. The diehard's gone, like, flushed out of him. And then Sunday, he repeats.
Meanwhile, Wally has nothing to do on Friday, so Wally can watch the show.
He's a diehard.
He's a diehard.
Yeah, I hear you. So moving on with the offense. Speaking of Davante Adams and wide receivers in general, let's talk about Randall Cobb, and how about John Kuhn? And the fact that McCarthy in the last, month or so, has done a really good job with the wrinkles in the offense that weren't prevalent back in week three. Everyone's, kind of making hay, at least nationally, not so much locally, but about the issues the Packers offense had with the two-man looks that the Lions gave them back in week three. And it's interesting to note how much Mike has done since then, whether it's, back in that week three game, they ran so much stuff out of their, three wide receiver set. I mean, so much. He's done a good job of mixing it up where between putting Randall Cobb in the backfield.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That Cobb in the backfield stuff is
I love
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Or the running Lacy behind John Kuhn, who I really think Lacy runs better with a fullback. I really do. And that's, there's
have
no,
you done some
I've,
statistical
I have
analysis
not. I
it?
Have not. It's just an eye test
that's
thing.
A hunch.
It's just an
that's eye. A hunch from watching tape.
Yep.
Because, if I said it, that would be a complete hunch. When you say it, it's actually
just,
like,
well, it's just,
I've watched some game tape.
I do. And
but it's not
I
like a,
it
it's not a PFF kind of thing.
No, not at all. But, you look at this, the wrinkles that he's incorporated over the last month, and you think, yes, I think they will be present and effective against the Lions. B, I hope he gets to them early in the ball game. Because usually that stuff kind of makes an appearance in the second half or when they're having trouble.
So wait, you think he's going to use Cobb in the backfield against Detroit?
I do, and I hope he goes to it early. I hope he, maybe not the first series, but in the first quarter, I hope he gets to it. Because by now, they've game planned for it, and usually Mike kind of goes to it late in ball games, and that's not new this year. That happened last year two years ago in San Francisco. In the playoffs. It's just what he does when he's banging his head against a wall on the offensive side of the ball. He says, okay, I'm going to go to Randall in the backfield to get him loosened up, get more guys spread out, get him some lanes, et cetera, get the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Mike gets to that earlier in the game because I think it will be very effective if he does. That's it.
I mean, I feel like Randall Cobb in the backfield is something he goes to as number two, three.
Yeah, well,
he game plans for it.
Exactly. Well, it's obviously part of the game plan because it's something they practice.
Well, yeah, he wants to get Cobb
it's not
the ball.
His, exactly, but it's not his, this is the way I'm going to beat you coming out of the gate. And I hope that kind of changes this week. And I don't know. We'll see. And that'll be something good to talk to Rob about, who we need to call in exactly 1 minute.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep going on the offense there, buddy.
Speaking of the offense, how about Corey Linsley, Josh Sitton, and TJ Lang being key versus John Kuhn? I'm sorry, Donkey Kong Sue and company. A lot is being made about how these guys were whooped up front. And it wasn't just the interior guys. The guys outside were as well. And all of these guys, especially TJ Lang, who called me out after the game for something I put in gut reactions. Which was true.
Wait, after the Bucks game?
No.
I missed that.
After week three, you can remember. After week three, he went to Twitter because I put something in. I said, on gut reactions, I said, last week I put TJ Lang
in the bad.
I forgot.
And he got upset.
I forgot how big your head was that you remembered something that he did in week three. Sorry.
I remember everything from every Packers game and everything after and before it. This is like the curse I've been born with. I can't help it.
Okay, well, when's the last time Detroit beat the Packers in Lambeau?
I don't know about in Lambeau. In Wisconsin, it was
1991. Oh! Okay. What game was I at where Robert Ferguson beat the Packers
in
Lambeau?
Beat the Lions?
Yes, Lions.
But there were a few where he beat the Packers with drops and what have yous and miscues. But
we still haven't decided that.
We haven't really. I think it's 2002 or 2004. But I do know he had a fantastic 15-yard in where Favre hit him.
And that probably was his greatest game of his career.
And you were at it, and it was bone cold in Lambeau. It was awesome.
Yeah, and it was a comeback.
Yeah,
but
they were down.
Find it
well, that's something I wanted to say. But right before we call Rob.
No, we got one more thing too.
I know. Okay, well, so let's get to it. Really cool. We have to capitalize on broken play opportunities. The Packers have to. I don't care if Rodgers is hobbling because of the calf. I don't care what happens. Way too many times in week three, Rodgers got outside the pocket or escaped the rush, and things were not available to him because the Lions did such a great job of plastering. All of you are football fans. You all know what that means. You know, broken play, quarterbacks running around looking for somebody to open. DB's responsibility is to plaster, get next to his wide receiver, and not let him go. Detroit Lions did a fantastic job with nobody. I mean, they were down. People don't remember, maybe. They were down to, like, guys they had pulled off the street, basically, in the secondary. I mean, they had, like, their fourth and fifth stringers out there completely blanketing the Packer wide receivers. That cannot happen again. When and if and when broken plays happen on Sunday, Rodgers gets outside that pocket, Packer receivers have to make a play.
Let me ask you this. Before we call Rob,
yeah,
what do you think, because you know he's not watching the show right now. Mm-mm. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah. No way.
What do you think the over-under in is of him saying the Packers will win?
Over-under, how do you mean?
Like, what do you...
Do you think he will say that?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
That they'll win?
Yes.
Interesting.
All right, let's give him a call.
All right, let's do it.
We're going to call ESPN's that's Rob Domofsky. Yeah, that would be you. But, you know, I'll just sit over here whistling Dixie. ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky soon to join us here.
No, that's a maybe.
On Packers Transplant
Maybe,
Live.
Buddy.
Hello?
Rob Domofsky, it's Aaron Nagler.
Rob Domofsky!
What's up, boys?
How are you, sir?
Yeah.
You are live on the line. Packer Transplants Live, that's why we call it live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Man, it is like old times having you on the line. I gotta be honest, Rob. You know, I read your stuff, I see you on the mothership, and I'm like, we should have Rob on. Like, every week, I'm like, we should have Rob. I wanted to save you, buddy. I wanted to save you for the big game.
That's right.
Week 17.
Well, it's as big as they come, I guess, in the regular season, right?
Yeah, I mean, heck, they're in the playoffs, but this could decide a lot. I want to start with something you wrote, I think, pretty recently. I think it might be your most recent post there at ESPN, the NFL Nation blog, about the offensive line and the difference it has to make in the run game. I think it's interesting. Nick Fairley obviously is out. He had a big play in that first matchup. What do you think the difference will be in Lambeau?
Well, I think a couple of things. And first of all, the one thing is, you know, I know people may not, when they're talking about the loudest stadiums, they may not put Ford Field in there. But that week three game up there, it was really, really loud. The loudest that I've ever seen it, and that certainly, you know, didn't help the offensive line. Noise isn't the only factor. That defensive front's obviously really good, but they'll be on their turf, a little slower track at Lambeau, so that should help. The noise won't be an issue, and quite frankly, it wasn't just the offensive line that was the problem. Their tight ends were terrible blocking, especially Richard Rodgers. I still don't know that he's a great blocker, but he's certainly much better than he was three games into his NFL career. It wasn't just the safety play. He had trouble blocking that entire game. So their run blocking unit is better. That week two, Brian Bulaga, he had missed the previous game against the Jets because of the knee injury. So he was still sort of feeling his way back into it. I'm not saying they are going to play much better this week, but they certainly have a chance to play much better because of those things.
Sticking on the offensive side, a lot of hand-wringing in Packer Nation about Davante Adams. Obviously, lots of up and down. You know, you see big plays versus the Patriots and the Dolphins, and then you see the last couple weeks with all the drops.
Right.
Do you think he will be involved in the game plan? Because something we were talking about earlier in the show, he seems to do better when he's involved early and or clearly part of the game
plan. That's a great point, Aaron, because, you know, they tried to go to him a couple of times early in the Buffalo game, and they were, you know, back shoulders, and he was obviously running a go, so they were off kilter there. I think he, at this point in his season, I think he needs to get involved early because his confidence is certainly, you know, whether he'll admit it or not, it's got to be certainly down from what it was a few weeks ago. But I still think if you look at the total body of work, the catches, the yards, you know, I think it's about what you would have projected for a second-round type of receiver. I think he's still, you know, I know it hasn't been great lately, but I still think overall he's had a pretty good impact, and there's reason to think that he can make the same progressions as some of the other second-, third-round receivers that they've had over the last couple of years. But, yeah, they certainly need somebody, whether it's him or Corliss or Richard Rodgers, they definitely need a third option in the passing game, and that'll certainly help. I don't know whether it's going to be Davante Adams this week or not, but they need somebody to sort of take a little bit of the pressure off of Cobb and Nelson. They've shown they can win with Cobb and Nelson getting, you know, 20-plus targets a game, but it sure would be easier if they had somebody else that could take a little bit of pressure off those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, how much of a difference, and clearly the Packers' defense played pretty damn well last time. They got worn down there at the end. Obviously, the Lions were able to punch them in the mouth towards the end because the defense had been on the field for so long. How much difference do you think it'll make having Matthews in the middle for this game as opposed to last time he was outside?
Yeah, it's a new look for the Lions as far as what they're preparing for with Matthews. But I still think that, you know, the Matthews move in the inside, I mean, it's probably more of a run defensive move. And really, I mean, the Lions' running game's not very good. I know they're going to have Joik Bell that looks like this week, or at least that's what they were talking about earlier in the week. I don't know how much of a base or nickel game this will be, so that'll depend, you know, where Matthews plays in those snaps. Obviously, Dime, he's going to be outside. But, yeah, I mean, it's something that the Lions haven't seen in person. They've seen it on tape, obviously. I think the impressive thing that they've done defensively is just found different ways, you know, to play Matthews, not just inside and not just outside, but, I mean, there were some games where he lined up outside the outside linebacker.
Right.
So I don't know what you call that. I call it the outside of the outside linebacker position.
That works.
But I'm sure there's some sort of scientific name for it. But yeah, I think it's it'll help. They have actually done a pretty good job defending the Lions, other than I guess that Thanksgiving game, which last year where it was 40-10, that was sort of just a total abomination from all aspects. But, I think defensively they'll be okay. I just think the question is whether they can handle, you know, the Lions' defensive front. So I think this game will be won or lost by how the Packers' blocking unit handles the Lions' rushing and pass rushing unit. That's where I think it comes
down
to.
I could not agree more with that assessment. Absolutely. Been saying the same. Real quickly, special teams, you mentioned it in your ESPN hit.
Which we played, by the way. Don't tell Disney not to shut us down, by the way.
Thank you, Corey.
Special teams, you mentioned look for Randall Cobb in the return game. Do you see any other potential changes? I mean, special teams has been a real, I won't say an issue / problem overall, although, God, over the last month or so, it's been a real disappointment.
Yeah, other than the punt return game, that they really haven't gotten many big plays out of the special teams. Here's why I think Randall Cobb will be an option as a kickoff returner at some point, whether it's this week or in the playoffs. They have tended to do that over the years. I mean, you know, they'll put those guys back in there in the playoffs and put their star players in return positions. As far as the coverage units go, I don't know how you explain it, because this year they've been so healthy that it's not like they've had the revolving door in, right, in the coverage units that they've had in the years past. So I don't know how to explain that problem, but I do think that they're going to put Randall Cobb in as a kick returner. DeJuan Harris, he just offers nothing dynamic back there. I mean, he catches the ball okay. He gets it out to the 20 most times, but there's nothing dynamic there. They could use a spark. So, and McCarthy he brought up kick return as an area where they want to get better, and one way of doing that, obviously, is to get Cobb in there.
Absolutely. All right, looking at the playoff push here, they're in the playoffs, so we can talk about them. I don't care what Mike says.
Right.
they're in the playoffs. They can be anywhere from a 1 seed to a 6 seed, which is kind of crazy. How do you see this team matching up? Obviously, everything kind of comes back to where they play. And,
yes,
you know, everyone talks about Lambeau being this huge advantage, and I think that's very real, and I think we'll see that play out Sunday. Do you think this is a team that can go on the type of run that they went on in 2010 if they have to go on the road?
If they don't, yeah. I just think there's one place in the NFC that they can't win right now, and that's Seattle.
Come on! Come on!
I don't see it. I don't even know if they can beat Seattle in Green Bay. I think that's the one team that's a bad matchup for them. Well, the one team other than San Francisco who's not in the playoffs. I just, there's something about those games with those guys that they have trouble. You know, their offense has trouble. Now, I would like to see them play them again and see them not be afraid to attack Richard Sherman.
Thank you.
Which was a huge mistake, I think, in the first game. Not saying they would have won the game, but at least you got to go after them. So I think seeding is huge. Now, even if they get the 2 seed, you know, there's obviously Seattle would have to play one game before they would get to the Packers if they're the one, so maybe somebody knocks them off. I don't think there's anybody else, even Dallas. I think they can beat Dallas anywhere. I think they can obviously beat Arizona anywhere. If they have to play Detroit somehow in another, you know, second-round matchup, I think they can beat them. And, you know, certainly the NFC South champion doesn't scare you, although they went to New Orleans and got smoked there, but New Orleans is not a factor in this. So I don't think there's any of those teams are a problem. And quite honestly, I'm not sure there's a team in the AFC that's a problem either. You know, I mean, right, they played very well against the Patriots, although as good a coach as Bill Belichick is, if they did have a rematch in the Super Bowl, I'm sure Belichick would have some adjustments that he would make.
He would pound the football
that game
in that
too.
Game.
So, I think there's one team right now that I wouldn't want to play if I were them, and that's Seattle at Seattle.
I was really liking this whole interview until that point, by the way. Just
hey, you got to be a realist, Corey. You got to be a realist.
No, not Corey Banky.
No, I don't. Not when it comes to the Packers.
It ain't how Corey rolls at all. All right, what's your prediction for Sunday, Rob?
I went Packers 24, or I'm sorry, 28, Lions 24. I think, you know, we've seen them so many games this year at home jump out early, and I think that's, you know, certainly a great recipe against the Lions. If they can get out early, you know, it will help. It's not a prerequisite, but it would certainly help. And I know Detroit shut them down once. I just have a hard time seeing them shutting this offense down twice, especially at home. The weather's probably going to be pretty decent, although we are supposed to get a little snow late tonight into early tomorrow. But I don't think the weather's going to be a huge factor in this game.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Eric. And I think Corey has one question from the chat.
Mr. Domofsky, I just want to know, you've been in Green Bay a long time. I just want to know how you feel about the demise of G-Force.
Hey, it's Get Loud Lambeau now, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So are you going to miss...
Was G-Force one of the most failed marketing campaigns or whatever you want to fan engagement campaigns you've ever heard?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
That says a lot. That's pretty... I mean, he's been there a long time.
What I love is that they, like, clung to it for so long. After it was clear that everybody hated it.
Well,
he would drive down Lombardi Avenue, and they'd have all these G-Force, like they look like the political signs, you know, the the Jim Schmidt for mayor, and then but they were like the G-Force signs. And, They were pretty bad.
So you're not going to miss it, is what you're saying.
No, but I'm sure you can get your Get Loud Lambo T-shirt.
Can't wait.
I like it.
All right, he's a legend. He's the man.
He's the man himself,
Mr. Rob Domofsky. Thanks so much for joining us, Rob. Obviously, everything you do at ESPN, we follow. We read it voraciously. We consume all of it. Thank you so much for everything you do for Packers fans.
Well, it's always good to catch up with you guys, and we got a chance to see Corey just a couple months ago, which was great. Aaron, hope to see you down the road soon.
Yeah, we'll see you in the playoffs. All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, we'll be seeing you.
Mr. Rob Domofsky, right here at CheeseheadTV.com.
Good stuff. We love him.
That's how he rolls, man.
We love him. Although, always love him in the beginning.
Didn't always love him. But you particularly.
You grow. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Nagler, I believe if you Google a post, it's going to be your post that comes
That'll
up.
That'll be one post. I have reams of digital tape, sir, of you railing on Mr. Domofsky.
The thing about Rob is,
back in the day.
Okay, first off, when he does his, the brilliant things about Rob Domofsky, okay, mm-hmm. before anything, when we finish, yeah. There are some brilliant things about Rob. Punt hang times in training camp.
Gotta love it.
Oh my goodness.
Gotta love it.
Who does that?
You don't know.
No one does that.
You don't know.
Okay.
Like, it's like
you don't know how diehard
experience.
You are until you experience that.
You got some tweets from
and
Rob.
Then actually talking to the guy and like one of the first guys, we did a tweet up before there was ever like that was even a thing.
Yep.
And the man shows up. There's only one throwback weekend he didn't show up for.
Oh no.
And we put his headshot and it was hilarious. It was great. And I think Jason Wilder provided the headshot, by the way.
Of course he did. Rob's
love
the man.
Love Rob. I'm so glad.
I'm a bit disappointed there was no Baoju reference this week.
Yeah. Usually you can, he's good for a Baoju reference or some kind of obscure Packer reference
from back
or,
in the day.
You know, Travis Jervey.
Whatever.
Which is a favorite on the show.
They're all friends.
One day we need to get Travis Jervey.
On this show, on this here program.
That needs to happen.
That's an off-season project right there. All right, let's get back to the defense. Let's just put this out here, people. Because I know a lot of people don't like Dom Capers. And I know a lot of people don't like Dom Capers' defense. And I get that there are legit reasons to not like Dom Capers. And there are legit reasons not to like the defense. I just want to throw this out there, which I think is kind of an amazing stat that I get these reams of freaking emails from the NFL that I kind of scroll through every week, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But this stat is amazing to me. The Packers have sacked the opposing quarterback in 35 straight games. 35 straight games. At least one sack in 35 straight games. This is not only a franchise record, it is also the longest current streak in the NFL. That's insanity, and that's pretty freaking great, although it kind of also speaks to how sacks are a little pumped up in their worth department.
Yeah.
But that's a great stat.
No, I think it's great. I think that the defensive front seven has been underappreciated this year somewhat. I think in the middle of the season, there was this step up from them that came out of nowhere.
And it also coincided with Clay moving inside.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it coincided with Clay. Mike Daniels being a beast inside.
Being the man.
One thing I want to play really quickly.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That we kind of glossed over.
Uh-oh.
And it's something that doesn't get a lot of views, but it's really diehard. It's something I'm very proud of at Cheesehead TV. So we're going to play the Rookie Report.
Welcome back to the Rookie Report for Week 16 of the NFL's 2014 regular season. Let's start off with Davante Adams, another disappointing performance. Multiple drops, not on the same page yet again on a couple of snaps with Aaron Rodgers. Overall, just poor. One decent reception, but that's not enough. That's a D-plus for Adams. Next, we have HaHa Clinton Dix, a much better job seeing what he's hitting, getting the job done in open space. One play in particular at the end of the first quarter cuts through the wash and takes out the ball carrier on a sweep. That's what we want to see going forward. A B-plus for HaHa Clinton Dix. Next up, we have Corey Linsley, who had probably his most uneven performance of the year. forget the pancake block that got called a hold yet again. Overall, though, his work in the run game was hit and miss. He missed on a couple of seal blocks, especially one on a draw play that looked like it was going to go for big yardage. It ruined that play. There were a few others. Fine and pass pro. Overall, a C on the day for Lindsley. Jayrone Elliott saw some action down the stretch. Only got in for 8 snaps, but he did help cause a turnover on one of them. A B on the day for Elliott. Finally, we have Richard Rodgers, who's not being asked to do much in the passing game, but at least he's reliable when he's called upon. A couple of times you saw Rodgers look deep and then check it down to Rodgers. He's doing great work in the running game, continually strong, improving as the year goes on. A B-plus for Rodgers. And there you have it, the Rookie Report for Week 16 of the 2014 NFL regular season.
I love how you're just like, yo, I worked real hard on this stuff. Like, you people are going to watch it whether you want to or not.
No, I
that's
just...
good, man. No,
I love him.
I'm all in.
I like
I'm
the Rookie Report.
I do, too.
I like Mike's Best and Worst. I think next season that we need to have a top 5 defense and top 5 offense.
Yeah, performances. So we open it up to everybody on the team.
Yeah. I like the Rookie Report. It's interesting because I don't think a lot of Packer fans appreciate the rookies. And it's also good...
I think some do.
I'm not saying they appreciate him, but right. Like the grades every I like the grades every right. week because it's interesting to see like Lindsley for
right,
instance
right,
like
right.
he's had a great middle season and then he kind of had a bad game
right.
and like I don't know that now
right.
I'm also listening to you, but I'm also trusting the fact that you watched the tape and I don't have time to watch the tape, and that's what you do, so I like that, and I think that's a good offer.
It's what we do, man. It's what we do.
You know,
it's funny because like. I know everyone who takes the time to watch us live on a Friday night probably knows how the rookies have done and knows, you know, they appreciate the rookie class. But I can guarantee you that 90% of the people who fill up Lambeau every Sunday have no freaking clue. Like they just they have like
no
desire.
Honestly,
to know.
I have no clue.
They're just like Aaron Rodgers, he threw it to someone, touchdown, party on.
I have no clue how the rookies did. It's only this season that I've really understood. Okay. Wally Pingle said something brilliant on the chat, so I have to point it out because it's a rarity.
We need to credit Wally as a co-host tonight.
It's a rarity that Wally Pingle says something brilliant in life. Okay, so he's like, I'd like to see Corey do a, quote, shit that wrong that's... Wait, no, this is a quote.
All right.
Shit that wrong on Pecker transplant, but you didn't notice report every week. That's a good one.
I don't even know what that means, but...
I mean, he said he was getting drunk.
I guess so.
Like, Kyle goes to a bar to get drunk
right.
and doesn't watch the show.
No, Wally's at
Wally's
home getting
like,
drunk watching
hey,
the show.
I'm going to get drunk and watch the show and be on the chat.
Okay. Hey, man.
I mean, if you actually did a list of all the stuff I said wrong in every pack of transplants, you wouldn't watch the show anymore if you cared
about
such
things.
Yeah,
you would. Yeah, you would. Come on. That's part of the charm, part of the fun.
I try not to be wrong, Nagler. That's what I have you for,
just
to tell me when I'm wrong.
Just don't
to
kill.
Tell me that Jeff Janis didn't play for the Wisconsin
just
Badgers.
Just don't kill Lee Remmel again. That's all I ask.
I'm not going to do it.
All right. That's all
Even
I ask.
Lee Remmel will be dead for 10 years,
and you
still
won't
kill
say
him.
He's dead. That's good. That's a good thing. All right, so here's a little factoid for you, which you may or may not have read about or heard about 4,000 times this week. Detroit has lost 23 consecutive games in the state of Wisconsin, either in Green Bay or Milwaukee, which is an NFL record for the most consecutive road losses versus any single opponent. Corey Behnke, what is your prediction for Sunday?
Wait, do we finish defense?
Yeah, sure. Why not? You jumped right to the rookie report, so I'm going. Let's
no,
go.
But we have Casey Hayward yet.
But you jumped!
No, but
Casey Hayward should play a bigger role on Sunday is clearly right before rookie report, which you jumped to, and I was like, okay.
I just jumped,
and then we went.
Oh,
so now we're down to predictions.
No, because we went ahead to Rob, then we came back.
Okay, but now we're on to predictions. Corey, what is your prediction for Sunday? I just gave the nugget. You have to give the prediction.
28-0, Nagler.
Nothing. Zero.
Green Bay.
Okay. Well, I know Rob went what 20-24. I'm going to say 31-17.
Come on.
That's it.
It's going to be a blowout.
I don't know about that, but it'll be 31-17.
I'll bet you $100.
No, not again. Not again. Not again.
Come on. I'll bet you with Katie Nolan's money.
There you go. Perfect. That'll be good.
I will bet you it's a blowout. Awesome. It is going to be a blowout.
Okay. Okay, so not afraid. If it's a blowout, next Packer transplants, I can't drink any Wisco Disco.
At me, Corey.
So what, are you going to drink
Corey's
PBR?
Corey's all upset.
So you're
going to
drink 8 PBRs?
I'm drinking 3 Wisco Discos tonight instead of 2.
Yeah.
It's Friday night, yo! Let's tear it up! Speaking of which, I need a new one.
Right, I love Wisco
Right before we end the show.
The only reason I wanted to do a show tonight was so I could drink Wisco Disco.
Or special kind. Or
I mean, I'm drinking
called?
Super kind.
Super kind, yeah.
But
there you go.
It's only because I wanted
you
to
wanted
drink
some
Green
Stomach
beer.
Brewed beer. Yep. I understand that need. I understand that desire.
That's pretty much the reason. Because I don't, I mean, I love you, but I didn't really need to see you tonight.
No, I hear you, man.
I love the Packers.
Yep.
I just really need to drink this beer.
I hear you, dude. Speaking of beer and Packers fans, it's time. Not? Is it?
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
All right, Corey. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere. It's the return of that venerable series.
And the death of G-Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, a moment of silence, please.
Green Bay! Should we play it right now?
Yeah, dude. Do it. Do it.
I really want to.
Do it!
We'll just play it under us.
Ready to go.
I'm playing it.
So, this week, Packers.com introduced Get Loud, Lambo, of which I am of two minds. Now, clearly, anything that supplants G-Force is, you know, a boon to society. Obviously. Clearly. But on the other hand, I kind of resent having to be told.
Okay, but wait a minute.
That I'm got to get loud.
Okay, but okay, let's just talk about Lambo for 2 seconds.
Yeah, well, that's the other. Maybe I was coming back to that.
If there was ever a place in the world
that needed to be told.
That needed to be told that you're not sitting in your living room watching a game.
It's time to get loud.
I mean, let's just talk about 1 second, okay? During the regular season, what do you think the median age of a Lambo Field participant is?
78.
I was going to say 62. You beat me on that.
I don't know.
I think it's like in their 50s.
Yeah, probably.
Okay?
Probably.
So if you really know Lambo, you know they got to get loud until it's the playoffs. Okay? The great thing about the playoffs in Lambo Field is
the
what?
Old people stay home.
Because they sell their tickets to the real fans.
Yep. Oh, because they don't want to be cold. I get that.
Oh, you know what would be cool? Okay. As long as we're talking about socialism, right? And we are, right? Because I own stock in Lambo and in the Green Bay Packers. Oh my God. Shouldn't you have to take a test to be
a
fan?
As long as we're talking about socialism.
Like, while we're talking about socialism in the Green Bay Packers Stock Corporation. All right, so how? Okay.
Wow.
If you own stock in the Green Bay Packers,
yeah.
If you are a season ticket holder, yeah. I believe, just like you should have a license to have children,
right?
You should have a license. So it's not just like seat
allowing you to be a Green Bay Packers fan?
No, allowing you to be a Green Bay Packers season ticket holder.
Okay. All right.
Because imagine, it would be something to do with the waiting list, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, it's like first come, first serve. It's so democratic, blah, 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 right? And it's like first come, first serve, right? But it's fandom is all about dedication,
right?
Passion.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So imagine if you're on the waiting list mm-hmm. and you could take a quiz and you could take a test.
Right.
To get you ahead. And that would mean all them old people would make way for the middle-aged people like myself.
Dude, I don't even know why you're upset. You've got tickets. You use grandpa's tickets.
Green Bay!
Dude, I'm like 56,000 whatever. Like, I'm never.
I love me some Lambo.
My kids might get it.
Lambo should get loud, though.
But here's the thing.
Let's be real.
But
Lambo should get loud.
Having to be told to get loud is freaking absurd. Now, the Packers, bless them, you know, we complain as the people on Twitter that they don't engage with fans. And this week they freaking did. And more power to them because they gave away free Get Loud Lambo t-shirts to people who tweeted them.
I didn't get one.
It was pretty awesome. Did you tweet to them?
Oh, no.
No, exactly. And if you had, I'm sure they would have just sent a link back to former Packer transplant shows with you bashing their lead writer.
can't you talk to Jason Wohlers about
it was,
that?
Can you give me a t-shirt? I'll do what I can.
Hug me up.
But it's just, it's nice and I'm happy and I'm really excited to see some engagement for a change. And Get Loud Lambo is 4,000 billion times better than GeForce. But, again, having to be told to get loud.
Come on, Nagler. Just like it.
I can't.
Just like it.
How about you just get loud and not
get
have
loud,
to be told
Lambo.
And have to wear something on your chest that tells everyone
like
to get loud?
Look.
Corey Behnke likes it. Now,
I
that's
hated
saying
GeForce
that's like Mikey
so much.
Liking Life cereal. Right
I
there.
Hated GeForce so much.
I hear you.
I love
Corey
Get Loud Lambo.
Actually pulled the press release from when GeForce was first launched back in 2006.
Okay, you guys got
it's
it. You guys got to get this.
Flippin' hilarious.
Oh, wait, I didn't.
No, but it's so great. It like the verbiage in this press release is it's hysterical. And you know what? It's Friday night, so I'm just going to vamp and drink beer and do whatever I got to do while Corey Google searches it because he didn't bookmark it because he's an idiot. Because he knew I was going to talk about it because I said, that is brilliant.
I'm sorry, I had it on the other
one. Anyway,
here it is.
It is fantastic.
Okay. GeForce to make.
This is a dramatic reading
debut
of the GeForce press release.
Sunday at Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field, traditionally an intimidating environment for visiting teams. This season, this is September 6, 2007, by the way, will provide a new opportunity for fans to unite behind the green and gold with the debut of GeForce, an in-stadium program that will emphasize the electric game day atmosphere the fans provide for the players. GeForce refers to the electricity, the excitement, and the anticipation players and fans
you're so
feel
you're
at
so
Lambeau
full of anticipation.
Field.
You can't even read, dude.
Okay, the best part about this whole press release, and all you have to do is type GeForce in Packers.com, by the way. Okay, during training camp and preseason, Packer fans have been introduced to GeForce through the logo featuring the Packers G and the word force. The logo has been featured on Packers.com, banners at training camp, and billboards around Green Bay. Fans have been encouraged to participate through phrases such as, time to use your outside voice.
Are we talking to two-year-olds? I mean, the whole... What I love is that, like, back when we were first kind of making noise as Cheesehead TV, I had drinks with Jeff Blum, who was in charge of PR with the Packers at the time, and he told me that Mike McCarthy hated GeForce. And all I got to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, is that if Mike McCarthy had never brought the Lombardi home, which he did, but if he had not, he would still be one of the greatest coaches ever in Packer history simply because he hates GeForce.
That is the reality. The first podcast we ever had basically were like how much we hated GeForce.
Yep.
And when we first got on Twitter.
That and the Tundra Line.
Yeah, and Tundra Line. Tundra Line is terrible still, by the way. Packers. Okay. There's two more things on my list. Okay. I've got you on level two inception with Vic. Okay. Okay. Let's just say, okay, if Vic Ketchman is supposed to be the Skip Bayless of Packers,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Packers. He's terrible at that.
Yeah.
So I know how you kind of backed into this, and the Packers did too. Like you made a very good point. I'm not talking crap about
Stop.
You.
Stop.
No, you made a very good point about how he's the Skip Bayless for you know, it's like people aren't taking
Well, okay, wait.
But here's the thing. Skip Bayless is 1,000 times better than Michael Vick. Vic Ketchman.
Yes.
If that is your criteria, right?
Right, of course.
If your criteria is
that's why one of them
you
is
need
working
to be the antagonist
for Disney and making like over
millions of dollars
a year, and the other one's writing for Packers.com.
So, one thing, get rid of Vic Ketchman, hire Skip Bayless. Number two, get rid of the Tundra Line. You don't need it. And I'm actually on your... From 2007, remember when we used to have argument after argument about cheerleaders?
Yep.
I'm on the bandwagon.
What? Holy cow, this is some breaking news right here.
Keep the...
St. Norbert cheerleaders?
Yeah, keep them.
Wow. What? Holy cow.
And here's why. Here's
we
why.
We are breaking some
no, here's
flipping
why.
News right
because
here.
Because if you look at professional cheerleaders in the NFL,
yep.
they're paid crappily.
Yes, they are.
Worse than fast food workers, basically.
Yep.
They're not treated very well.
No.
And if you're not going to treat people professionally, you might as well have college students do it.
Yep. Exactly. And have them at least be respected for what they're doing on game day.
Wow, that's an epiphany right there.
But that's why, though. It's not because if you have professionals and you treat them like you treat professional players, that's completely different.
I agree with that.
Don't know how the Dallas Cowboys treat their cheerleaders,
right?
But if you treat them like the Bills,
like the
treated,
Bills, the Raiders, except I mean,
get out of here.
Bengals, there's a litany.
Honestly,
of teams.
I think in some ways the way that the Bills have treated their cheerleaders and the way that the NFL has treated the fact that they treat their cheerleaders so badly is more egregious in some ways than what than the Adrian Peterson situation.
Well,
it's
okay.
a labor issue.
We're gonna go down this rabbit hole, but all I will say is that the fact that the league has made this push in domestic violence, trying to cater to female fans in the wake of this, which is absurd and horrific and insulting in and of itself, at the same time as this. You know, push this whole agenda is going on with the NFL. They still actively have an app at participating teams who have cheerleaders, such as at the Atlanta Falcons, where you can use an app to bring a cheerleader to your seat.
That's ridiculous.
Never has the objectification of women been more absurd than right now.
But that's never what I advocated in 2007.
No, I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't.
I advocated if you're going to have professionalism,
have them be
professional. Everybody be professional.
I understand that.
But you know what? If you're gonna treat them like amateurs, have amateurs.
Yeah, like the St. Norbert cheerleaders.
Exactly, and they're great. And you know what? They're pretty diverse, and they have, and they're great. I've been on the front row in Green Bay, and they're great.
And they do what they're supposed to do.
They do exactly what they're supposed to do. Now the Tundra line, on the other hand. Get rid of the Tundra line. Get rid of Vic Ketchman. I'll be happy. I'll have nothing to talk about, and you'll get rid of the Packers.
That'll be the end of Packer transplants as we know it. Nobody wants that, except everyone who's listening to this show.
Except Jason Wohlers and the Packers.
Well, there you go. I mean, what else is there to say? We've given our predictions. We've broken down everything that's wrong with the Packers. Pretty much just, you know, Mark Murphy, step down, because Corey Behnke is here to take care of it. You ready to go, Banky? You reading the live chat?
Yeah.
Anybody up in arms?
Everybody's just like, what happened? I don't care.
It's Friday night.
I mean, I did get up at 3:30 in the morning.
It's Friday night.
And now I'm at Friday night.
It's Friday night.
Another super kind. Thank you, Wisco Disco.
Okay, but one last thing. I can't let it go. Get loud, Lambo. I mean, you're at a football game. And you have to be told to get loud.
Yes.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Okay, but this is a place where when I was 13 years old, they said, can you please put your cheese head down because I can't see? And I'm sorry, Wally. I'm sorry, but it's still like that. It's still like that. If it's warm outside in Wisconsin, you've got the poser-ass loser fans in Lambeau that do not get loud, and they need to get loud. They need to be told what to do. They're sheeple.
I just can't get over it. I can't get over it. All right. Get loud, Lambo. Now that you've been instructed by the home office, get loud, Lambo. All right. All that matters is that Packers are going to win Sunday. Playoffs are going to happen. They'll be the 2 seed. If by some miracle the Rams pull off an upset, they'll be the 1 seed. I don't see that happening, but crazier things have happened. You ready to shut it down, Banky? All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank ESPN's Rob Domofsky for joining us and everyone who connected with us tonight, especially on a Friday night, live on the chat. You guys are awesome. You're the reason we do this. Diehards everywhere. And again, every week I say it. Oh, excuse me. Every week I say it. Worldwide, we get tweets, we get emails. People watch this show in the craziest places. Right now, tonight, I got tweets, people telling me they're flying and watching us in the air. That's amazing to me. So, thank you all, every one of you. You are the reason we do this. You're the reason we're here. Thank you so much. Go Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?